This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
I just had a fun little conversation with Butch Miller about changing a much needed rule. And perhaps I think I got him on board. We were talking about the silliness of the Georgia High School Association hosting a state championship for two Richmond County teams in Macon. And maybe we can solve this problem, Butch. Maybe we can require the Georgia High School Association, if we ever have schools going for a state championship from the same county or the same metro area, that they be given the opportunity to pick a neutral location to hold their game.
Austin, this is another one of those instances where the people closest to the problems have the best answers.
Absolutely.
Now, a Westside playing Butler in Macon. How much sense does that make?
No sense.
So we pay for transportation for Westside.
Shut down both schools early.
Shut down both schools. Pay for Butler. Pay for Westside. Yeah. Send them all the way down to Macon. Shut down both schools. And, you know, they could have played that game at a neutral site here. Could have been an absolute barnstorm. Could have been a sellout crowd. What was there? Maybe a couple hundred people in Macon?
At the most, yeah.
Exactly.
And again, God bless the folks who went down there. They had a good time watching it.
But also
we would have had probably 5,000 people watching them here in Augusta.
Yeah, but congratulations to the Butler Bulldogs for their runner-up performance, and congratulations to Westside for being state champs. There's no, in my opinion, there's no better value for your entertainment dollar than high school basketball.
It really is.
I love it.
This is the magic year for this area, and we've got, as I was just telling you a minute ago, Augusta University in the Final Four for Division II.
Oh, yeah.
That was an incredible game last night. Another situation where you had, I guess the good news about that is you had an East Coast team playing a West Coast team in Evansville, Indiana, but we got to watch it on TV.
Yeah.
By the way, Butch Miller, again, a member of the Georgia State Senate since 2010, I believe.
That's correct. 2010, I was elected in an open election. I ran in May of that year. I ran in a primary in July, and I ran again in November.
Were you replacing someone who passed away?
I was replacing a senator who resigned to run for United States Congress.
Which was who?
Which was Lee Hawkins.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you, a year or so before that, I was watching television, and I was clearly evident that Barack Obama was going to be elected president previous to that. I'm watching television, and I couldn't stand to watch it. My wife and I were laying in bed. I turned away from the television. I could still hear it. I put a pillow under my head, one over my head, turned away from the television. I could still hear it. I sat up in bed. You know, he was saying things like, "You didn't build that business. You know, government is the answer." And I believe personal responsibility is the answer. And I said, I feel like my whole world's turned upside down. What's right's wrong. What's wrong is right.
It's funny that you're mentioning that reaction, because that night it just popped into my memory. I hope my wife's got the radio on. The night that he won was the first time I felt my son kick. Bo was in mama's tummy, and she said, oh, feel this. And I think, what's that, pow? And I said, well, hey, the kid didn't like what's going on.
He didn't like it.
He did not like it. And I thought, I said, you know, you're going to have him right here. She goes, no, he's going to cook a little longer.
Yeah.
And that was November. He was born in March. And the closest we came, though, to having the baby, I'm a big Steeler fan, was when James Harrison ran that interception back 100 yards for a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And my wife was out to hear and sitting right with me, and she and I both screamed. And as soon as it was all over with, I said, "You okay? He's not coming, is he?" And she sat there for a minute. She said, I don't think so. So Gainesville is your home.
Yes, I was born in Macon, grew up in Buford, married a girl from Hall County, and we live in Flowery Branch. Yes.
Flowery Branch, home of the
Falcons.
Spring training, and they call it spring training for the Atlanta Falcons. The position that you find yourself running for,
yes.
I would have never, I said this before we were on the air, Jeff Duncan, very personable gentleman and a nice guy, came in here a lot during his campaign, and I think he and I both would have lost $1 million if somebody had asked us to bet if in 4 years he'd be walking away from the seat. And it's kind of interesting because he's not being forced out. I mean, there are some people that did not like, you know, the way that the ball bounced when it came to the reaction to the 2020 election. But having said that, he really didn't, quote, get any on him the way that Raffensperger or even Governor Kemp did, righteously or unrighteously. But rather than even think about running with the accusation that he didn't do the right thing out there, he just said, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore.
When he stepped away from the podium, from the rostrum, when we brought across the Elections Integrity Bill, Senate Bill 202,
yeah.
When he stepped away from the rostrum, it was a defining moment for him. As president pro tem, I was called upon to preside.
Yeah.
And as a presiding officer, you can call any bill you want. The first bill I called was Senate Bill 202, which is your elections integrity bill, which makes voting easier and cheating harder. And it's a great start. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it's a great start.
Speaking of other Republicans, I've had an issue with Brad Raffensperger, who has sat in that chair and to his credit, has never shied away from either being on this show or answering questions when we call him. So I give him credit for that. But I told him the year that he was first running for his office, I said, you've got a problem in Atlanta.
Yep.
That has been going on for years, DeKalb and Fulton County.
Yep, DeKalb, Fulton County.
And I said, you know, take a look at Richmond County here in Augusta. Take a look at Columbia County. We have zero types of these problems. And I said, and by the way, Richmond County, don't call it a Republican-Democrat issue because Richmond County is just as much Democrat as, you know, DeKalb or Fulton is. I said, so it's not about that. It doesn't have anything to do with partisanship. It has to do with inappropriate and inept local leadership. And it could be Republican, Democrat, doesn't make any difference. In that county, in those two counties, you have horrible, horrible, horrible board of elections and election managers, and you need to fix it.
Absolutely.
And he poo-pooed me.
Well,
guess what? The whole damn election hinged on it. And by the way, after he went in office, it happened, then it happened again. I mean, it was crazy and infuriating.
No doubt about it. And Austin, you're well aware that I led the fight for the performance audit of Fulton County, which led to the resignation of the chairman of the Fulton Elections Commission and the firing of two additional workers. 26 other senators signed on to that demand for the performance audit. We specifically asked them to look at ballots. We specifically asked them to look at processes, chain of custody, et cetera. But that's part of what Senate Bill 202 provided us, was the opportunity to audit these elections, these fraudulent, what the fraudulence, the malfeasance.
Well, and the ballot harvesting also was awful.
Everything.
That was a huge part of it. But again, if those two counties had been managed correctly, we may have seen some different races. I mean, it was heartbreaking. At the same time, you got to give credit where credit is due. And I validated my theory by doing a deep dive on two counties that are fairly geographically close to each other here in Augusta and Richmond County and Columbia County. Roughly the same number of residents, and I compared the way that they came out and voted. And in the most affluent Columbia County district, which is Westlake Country Club and the surrounding area, mm-hmm. huge property values, some of the highest in the area. They broke about 75-25 Republican-Democrat, actually about 70-30 Republican-Democrat. Yeah. Well, same number of voters in the absolute poorest, dirt poor area mm-hmm. of Richmond County. They broke 96% to 98% Democrat.
Wow.
And that's the difference.
That's the difference.
That's the difference
right there.
And so you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, I don't believe for a minute that there was some magic genie somewhere pressing buttons that made magic numbers show up. I think it was a combination of turnout and trouble in two of our biggest precincts.
And I think that those biggest precincts and those what they discouraged people. They saw what happened in Fulton County.
Absolutely.
And they came out. They saw what happened in Clayton County, DeKalb County. They were discouraged, and it didn't come back out. And we've got to have people come back to vote, particularly in this primary in May and again in November.
You have had a position in the state Senate for a number of years. Were you confident before the 2020 election that the country was on the right track?
I am 110% in agreement with the policies and the regulations and the principles that Donald Trump and the Republican Party put into place. We were on the right track. We had our economy white hot. Everybody was working. Interest rates were low. We were on the right track. There's no doubt about it.
And all of a sudden, COVID hit, and the fact that from the very beginning they hamstrung the president, and it affected him in a way that the fair to Midland Republicans were nervous enough to where they wouldn't back him as tight as they should.
But you look at what's happened in the last 15 months since Joe Biden has been in the presidency. I mean, our borders have opened, unemployment has risen, interest rates are going up. We have all kind of economic problems. We have all kind of social problems. We've had violence in our streets, in our major cities. And I will tell you, It is my belief that the violence, the fraud, the malfeasance you see in our major cities across the country, you'll see in our small towns in the future if we don't stand and fight.
Well, we're seeing it already, sadly. Yes. And again, it's a situation I believe very, very strongly needs to be addressed, like you said, locally from the neighborhoods up.
Yep.
We got word yesterday, a very nice neighborhood in Richmond County that ordinarily doesn't have these kind of problems, had a vehicle driving through the last three successive days before the final incident occurred, where an SUV was driving through the neighborhood, targeting a specific house and literally shooting bullets into the house. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, my goodness.
And the first night, I think, one or two shots. Second night, three shots. The final night, and thank God in heaven, one of the neighbors said, well, you know what? If they're going to do this, we'll take their picture.
Yeah.
He put a camera up. I posted it last night on the Austin Road Show page on Facebook. SUV pulls into the neighborhood. Bang, 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 bang. 10 shots.
Oh, my goodness.
Into the house and into the car of this neighborhood. We had a case several months ago, where an 8-year-old girl standing on the sidewalk with other children petting horses that had been brought into the neighborhood by a very kind man who was educating them about horses. Gangbangers drove by, opened fire, killed the little girl right there. The next day, they also find out one of the horses took a bullet and it died. Okay. I mean, what kind of animals?
What kind of person?
Open up,
yeah, exactly,
on gathered children, yeah, petting farm animals.
Petting an animal.
It's
just absolutely disgusting. And as I say, the violence you see in our major cities today, you're going to see it in your small towns tomorrow. So that is exactly why we have to stand and fight. And there is no in between. There's no negotiating. There's no talking about this. We have to stand and fight as citizens of the state of Georgia. And that's why I'm running on conservative principles, conservative policies, and conservative legislation.
I'm very happy to report the instant that I mentioned to Butch Miller my feelings about the Georgia Crime Lab, he completely agreed with me. And sadly, you were telling me you had a situation in your own family a few years ago that required a 6-month wait on lab results back on a death. And I just, for the life of me, we got to fix this problem. I mean, there's no reason not to.
There's no reason for a family who's lost a loved one to have to wait months and months for confirmation of test and how the individual passed, what the cause was, what the circumstances were. There's no reason in the world for us to be waiting on that.
Especially,
we have the facilities, we have the people, we have the expertise. All we need to do is put it in place.
Well, we need to hire more people. The facilities, we got a crime lab, state-of-the-art crime lab here in Augusta, over at right next to the Finnessy Road. I think they call it the Webster Detention Center, that has been closed down for years because they don't have the staff for it. And again, this is something that writing a check will fix. That you can't cure cancer by doing that. Mm-hmm. You can't bring back the dead. But what you can do is you can staff the damn crime lab.
Yeah.
And we need to do it. It just needs to be done.
Well, our budget called for additional medical examiners this year. So
Butch Miller is running for lieutenant governor. We got a news break coming in about 2 minutes. Can you stick around after the news break? Okay. You were making an appearance today at the Richmond County Republican women's meeting.
Great turnout there. A lot of enthusiasm. Had a great time there. Not just a group of women, but also conservative men and women in that group. We got to talk about some of the things that I'd worked on over time. We talked about some of the things that are going on in the legislature. You know, personally, I'm working on ending the income tax. I think Tennessee doesn't have an income tax. Florida doesn't have an income tax. Who do we compete most with for jobs and opportunity and economic development and investment? That would be Texas. No income tax.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Let me ask you about that, though.
Yep.
Texas generates a huge amount of state revenue from mineral rights and oil licenses. Florida, tourism money out the wazoo. So what's the magic source of funds that would be able to justify Georgia doing that? I support you. I just want to hear what you're...
The same question can be made to Tennessee. They have no different economy, no different landscape, no different resources than the state of Georgia, but they found a way to do it.
Okay.
And if we focus on it, we can find a way to do it.
I guarantee you won't get any argument from me on that.
But yeah, I don't want to negotiate with myself on that.
By the way,
we get there is dependent.
By the way, we were having a conversation, and hats off to the governor and the legislature for peeling away the Georgia state gas tax for a few months anyway. But I was looking at that, and I didn't realize that Georgia's about middle of the pack when it comes to that. And I would have thought we would have been lower than that when it comes to the level of taxation. Do you think that could come down a little bit?
We're about middle of the pack. You know, we went to a
29 cents a gallon
on gas. I think it's 33 on diesel, and we're about the middle of the pack. So that's a good place to be. I mean, could we come down a little bit? There's always an opportunity to have that discussion. But, you know, Frank, the fact of the matter is we've repealed this, or we've temporarily eliminated this gas tax, but I haven't seen gas prices go down by 3 or 4 cents at the most.
That is true.
And, you know, so where is that money going? Well, apparently it's going into either the pockets of the retailer or the wholesaler.
You know what I would love to see? I'm not one necessarily for regulation on, you know, how they form their business model, but it might be telling to have a requirement as to what their profit is per gallon. In other words, you know, your gas is $2.50 a gallon, and of that we make 7 cents a gallon, we make 10 cents a gallon, we make whatever, and just tell the world.
We regulate other industry.
Well, I mean, and by the way, that's not making them do anything other than tell us.
Yep.
All you're doing is telling us the truth. Yep. You're letting us take a look under the mask, so to speak. By the way, you have a great broadcast voice. Anybody ever talk to you about doing play-by-play sports?
They've told me I've got a face for radio.
That too. You and me both.
There you go. So we were talking about election integrity. We're talking about things that I've been working on. And, you know, frankly, the income tax, eliminating CRT. CRT should not be in our schools in any way, shape, or form. No child should be the oppressed or feel like the oppressor. They shouldn't feel like that, no matter what, not because of their racial background, not because of their creed, their color, et cetera. I would also, Austin, I'd like to get rid of the drop boxes. Drop boxes were an emergency measure during a pandemic.
And were a bad idea then, too.
They were a terrible idea then. Yeah. They are the weakest link in the election chain. So how do you make a chain stronger? You remove the weakest link. So I want to remove the drop boxes. I want to get rid of them.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, too, my wife is a school teacher, and she teaches literally at one of the greatest high schools in the state of Georgia.
Yep.
And she doesn't benefit from being in either a charter school or a magnet school where they kind of handpick who's coming in. She just happens to represent a very nice district. Having said that, her opinion of the bureaucracy and the red tape, I mean, she's at the end of her rope. She's very frustrated. She's been a teacher for 25 years, and it's driving her up the wall. We really have to do a better job of listening to teachers in the classroom and what they have to say about the process and what they have to say about administrators backing them up. We've got a situation that just broke today in Richmond County where a bus driver has come forward and said that he has identified individuals on his bus with weapons. One was a BB gun, which I realize is no big deal, except the kid he was shooting people with the BB gun.
Yeah.
Another was a real gun, and he claims that when he took the information to his administrators, they poo-pooed it, which, by the way, is a felony. You have a requirement to report. And so we're going to be getting into that in a little bit. But bottom line, is there anything that the legislature and the governor can do to ensure the security of the jobs and the careers of these teachers and other employees that come forward as whistleblowers? And I don't mean just talking about horrific crimes like this bus driver's talking about. I'm talking about people that have a problem with broken education processes. And you found out, we all found out the hard way, this work from home baloney doesn't work.
So that exposed so many problems in many school systems. And we really need to continue to work to empower parents. That's the bottom line right there.
Well, I'll tell you something else that I would like to see a state regulation on, even though I'm not a regulation guy. Every teacher in the state of Georgia would thank you. Cell phones off in the classroom, put in a neutral location. And every administrator, every superintendent, Dr. Flint, who's the great new administrator of Columbia County, and his predecessor, who's a wonderful person, Dr. Kierway, sat right there and said, you know, you take a phone away, you're opening yourself up for liability. Not if the legislature fixes it. Well, no, if you take your phone to school, you are taking the chance that it, when the teacher takes it up or when you put it away, that something could happen and it's on you. You're warned ahead of time. You lose your phone, you lose your phone. But the bottom line is,
then they don't bring the phone to school.
Well, that you'll have a hard time with simply because of Columbine and all that. Yeah. And people want to be able to check on their kids. But when you walk in that classroom, that phone ought to go. And I've asked my wife, you know, how she would handle it, and she said, I have 8,000 other things I have to deal with. If you make me the phone police, it's not going to be pretty. And I said, well, what if the rule is you don't have it at your desk? And she said, that would solve the problem, but they won't do that. Well state legislatively, you can.
Listening to teachers and empowering parents. Empowering parents. That's the bottom line right there. I've been a proponent of school choice. Not every student is fortunate enough to be in the system that your wife teaches in. Not every student is fortunate enough to be in the system that my kids went to school in. There are kids that are trapped in failing school systems, and those parents need to have choices. In addition to that, they need to have opportunities to go to other schools where they can flourish, where they can excel, where they can grow and succeed. I was a proponent of school choice. My opponent in the Senate was not. He voted against it. I was a proponent for special needs scholarships. He was not. He voted against it. I was a proponent for several law and order measures, like increasing sentencing for vehicular homicide. I was for it. My opponent voted against it. I was for making these gang crimes where they come into stores, smash cases, and grab everything and run out, making those felonies. I voted for it. My opponent in the Senate voted against it. Now, I have two other opponents out there, but that's what the record of my opponent is in the Senate versus my record versus his. The fact of the matter is, that's a bright line. But the number one thing that I voted for that I thought was really important to do with schools was I voted against the COVID liability immunity. I voted for COVID liability immunity, keeping our schools, our churches, and our businesses open. Now, if we had not
in other words, you can't sue McDonald's because you went to McDonald's and caught COVID there.
That's it. You boiled it down right there.
And by the way, why not? There's no other. You
can't sue them for catching a cold.
You can't, yeah. You can't sue the town hooker for catching a social disease. So why should you be able to sue McDonald's for catching COVID?
Exactly. And those are bright lines between my opponent in the Senate and myself. I have delivered on conservative legislation consistently over the years and will continue to. And as Lieutenant Governor of this state, I will make sure that we continue to deliver on conservative legislation. Conservatism works. It made Georgia the number one place to do business. It made us a great place to raise a family. And obviously, it makes us a great place to retire because people are moving here right and left.
All of our violence problems related to gangs are a result of gunfire. None of them stab people.
Yeah.
None of them put poison
We're
in
way
someone's
beyond
tea.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
So my question would be, when a convicted felon or a gang member, period, picks up a gun, why in this state do we not have a law or a rule that says, you know what, you've already broken the law, you're a convicted felon, or you're in a gang, which is another felony. The instant you pick up a gun to facilitate another crime, you're going to jail a minimum of 10 years, period. The judge has no discretion. If the DA says you're a gang member with a gun, you're gone for 10 years. And at which point the Crips and the Blood say, let's go to Columbia.
Let's go to Columbia. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Exactly. The fact of the matter is, the crime that is committed with guns that are lawfully registered to the owners of those guns is minuscule.
Minuscule.
Minuscule. So we need to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. That's the bottom line right there. Do not infringe upon our Second Amendment rights. I'm a strong supporter of constitutional carry. I think that everybody should have access to their gun. They should be able to use their gun. And, in fact, that makes us all safer when law-abiding citizens have guns.
Well, it's been an honor to get to know you, Butch, and I look forward to seeing you a little further down the road back out on the campaign trail. Are you going to be coming back in this area anytime soon?
Oh, multiple times. We've been here a couple of times already. Of course, we've talked on the phone in the afternoon. But I want to bring up one additional item that I really covered that I think is important, citizen-only voting. I had that bill this year. it was. I wanted to make it a constitutional amendment, raising the bar for citizen-only voting. We saw what happened in New York. 800,000 people were added to the vote.
We need to make sure everybody understands what you're saying there, because a lot of people don't get this. In the United States, obviously, it is illegal for a non-citizen to vote in a federal election, president, Senate, that type.
Right.
Unfortunately, in all 50 states, the local state governments and the local governments have the ability to allow anyone they want to vote in their state and local races to do it. California and New York both allow illegal aliens.
That's correct.
And many states around the country allow convicted felons to vote. And this state, as you say, Butch, needs a constitutional amendment that says if you ain't a citizen, you don't vote for Doodly Squad.
Absolutely.
I don't even want you ordering ice cream. You have to take what they bring you. You don't get to vote on what flavor.
That's in code. We want to make it part of our Constitution.
Exactly.
It takes 38 votes. I brought that bill to the floor of the Senate this year. It failed right along party lines. 34 Republicans in the Senate, 34 voted for it. 22 Democrats in the Senate. 22 voted against it.
Unbelievable.
So we needed four votes to make that thing a constitutional amendment.
Do you think the momentum that the Republicans seem to have right this minute, granted we're a long way from the election, do we stand a chance at getting a veto-proof,
two-thirds.
A constitutional
majority.
Do you think we can do that?
Well, we had a constitutional majority. In fact, at one time we had 39 in the state Senate for a brief period of time. We can get back to that number, but we're going to have to work. Republicans have got to get out and vote.
Or can't we just convince two or three Democrats to see the light on this?
Well, you know, I think that we have the old-time traditional Democrat votes with us a lot. But it's the newer Democrats.
I was going to say there's one or two of those left.
There's only in the Senate, there's only just a handful of those left. And they vote with us a great number of times. But the fact of the matter is, as I mentioned earlier, conservatism works. And that's what we need in Georgia to keep Georgia the number one place to do business, a great place to raise your family, and a great place to retire.
You got a website?
I do. ButchMillerForGeorgia.com. Come and visit us. The campaign is on fire, man. We've been all over the state. People are getting on board in a big way. Our message is resonating, and we've got a great momentum.
All right. Butch, an honor to talk to you in person, and we'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
Great to see you. Talk to you soon.
ButchMillerForGeorgia.com.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's news talk and information station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.